good morning to each of you. Good to see everyone here this morning. Really I'm glad to be back and be able to spend time with you and studying together from God's Word, and that's what it's all about as we strive to please Him and do all that He has required of us. And I'd like to say I really appreciate those of you who filled in for me while Deb and I were on vacation. She and I were so excited about it, you know, being on vacation together, that the first couple of days we were like, and then we eventually went over to Pennsylvania, spent time. Now that was her thing, but we spent time with the family over in Pennsylvania, and went back through the areas where we dated and visited those sites, and really enjoyed spending time with her and reflecting back on those days, and looking forward to many more as we celebrated our 33rd anniversary together. And so really enjoyed that, and such a great treat for me. Also appreciate the lessons. Heard that you've had some good lessons that were presented, and especially as the lesson that Alan gave last Sunday, and I think that my lesson is going to be a little bit of the coattail of some of the things that he had mentioned in his studies with you last Sunday, but it won't be as long. Put it that way. I figured I had to get him on that one. But again, it's just so wonderful to be with you all, and again, spending this time together. But I'd like for us to just look at a few things this morning and consider some of the thoughts that he brought to your attention last Sunday. And I had the opportunity to look at some of those things as well. And I really appreciated the things that he brought to you. And so this morning, what I did was titled a lesson that is similar to some of the things that he said, but extending just a little bit more in connection to the thought about worldview. What is your worldview? Now, what do I mean by this aspect of worldview? Worldview is defined as a particular philosophy of life, or concept of the world. It is those who have broadened their view or worldview by experiencing a whole new culture. And you'll have some terms like beliefs, faith, convictions, ideology, ideas, thinking, notions, theories. Here's one we are familiar with, doctrine, and that is in reference to teaching. Values, principles, as we have been studying, especially as we have been dealing with the thought of walking in the counsel of God, the principles, ethics, attitude. And from these words and descriptions of defining what worldview is, we can see that it has an impact on our lives in one way or another. An author named James Anderson said this: as the word itself suggests, a worldview is an overall view of the world. It is not a physical view of the world, but rather a philosophical view, an all-encompassing perspective on everything that exists and matters to us. Now you begin to see how that kind of thinking affects us in one way or another. It will cause us to act in a particular way, depending on our worldview. He goes on to say, a person's worldview represents his most fundamental beliefs and assumptions about the universe he inhabits. Now, when you start to think about that, that's exactly right. So worldview is going to impact the way that we look at things and how we behave. And in going back to some one of the things that Brother Alan brought to your attention was in connection to this worldview about spiritual death. Spiritual death is caused by worldview. In other words, if we do not view that there is a God, then what's going to be our guiding principles of life? Well, we're going to engage in, or we're at the whims of the world. We're at that whims, and so when the world says it's okay to do this, we will engage in it because that's our worldview. We don't have any guiding principles. And it leads to the spiritual death, the separation from God. And that's why it is so important. And so this morning, as we look at a few passages, I want us to look at those worldviews that do not have God in it. God is not their principle, or God's principles are not their guiding way of life. It is what they think and what they do that matters to them. God is not even considered. So in Psalms chapter 14 there in verses 1 through 3, I want you to notice what the psalmist is saying in those passages. A thought that we need to think very carefully about, because remember, as he's pointing out, as David writes this, this is also mentioned over in chapter 53 of the book of Psalms. But here in chapter 14, there is a particular thing that we begin to see in connection to this worldview of not thinking about God and his authority or his guiding principles or his counsel, as the psalmist brings these things to our attention. So in verse 1, he says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." If there is no God, notice what he says is the next step. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. Do you see that? When the fool says there is no God, there is no guiding principle, there is no standard of morality, there is no standard of action, they do whatever they want, and so the psalmist says there are corrupt, and they commit abominable deeds. And he goes on to say, there is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside together. They have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. So he connects that to the fool that says there is no God. It's connected to the one who decides and sins against God. Therefore, that individual is spiritually dead. Because God is no longer ruling, or God has not ruled in their heart. And he says in verse 4, "Do all the workers of iniquity, wickedness, not know? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord." They don't know. There they are in great dread, for God is with the righteous generation. You would put to shame the counsel of the afflicted, but the Lord is his refuge. You see, it's a survival of the fittest. And then there is the struggle or the fight against God. In other words, there are those who are righteous, who are striving to do right, and those who say that there is no God eventually end up fighting against God because they reject the counsel of those who are righteous. And so you can see their situation and how dire It is. So what are the guiding principles? Here is a passage that is interesting, and that's over in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 18 through 23. And I believe Isaiah chapter 5, verses 18 through 23 answers the question, what is their guiding principle? If there is no God, if their worldview does not include God in it, and so Isaiah, who was sent to Israel to warn them of their rejection of God, they're no longer living the way that God had instructed them. And so when you look there in verse 18, he says, "Woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood and sin as if with cart ropes." And what he's saying is, they attach themselves to it. Instead of rejecting the wrong way, the wrong things, these abominable things, no, what they do is they attach themselves to it. And they carry it around. And they carry it around as a symbol of pride. That's because of their worldview. There is no God. Verses 20 through 21, or also going with that, verses 20 through 21, they end up calling evil good. And they call good evil. It's sort of what King Ahab did when he is married to Jezebel. They are worshiping false gods. In fact, Israel is going through terrible times. So in 1 Kings 18, when Ahab and Elijah meet, it is Ahab that is calling Elijah a troublemaker. And Elijah responds, "No, it is you who are the troublemaker because you have forsaken God." But did you see what Ahab did? He did exactly what Isaiah chapter 5 verses 20 through 21 said. He called good evil. That's what he did. All because Elijah would point out the sins that he was doing. So that tells you something about Ahab, his worldview. His worldview is not considering God. And because he's not considering God, and Isaiah brings that to his attention, that's evil. And instead of calling evil what it is, he calls it good. And then calls good evil. Wow. That's how far Ahab had gotten. That's how much his worldview had been affected by not considering God in the picture. In fact, when you read through the rest of Isaiah here in those verses, notice verse 22. "Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink." Again, there is that symbol of pride, and they are raised up as heroes. And that's because God is not considered as one. Their worldview. How terrible that is. That he had gone that far. Notice in chapter 1 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 20 is something else that the prophet brings to the attention of Israel in their failure to keep God in their worldview. It had gotten to the point to where what they were doing is they were trying to synchronize pagan worship with the worship that God had instructed Israel. And so God brings that to their attention, synchronizing that. What they would do is they would offer their sacrifices to God. And then what they would then do is go and worship Baal by their actions, by the things that they did. And Isaiah brings that to their attention. And so the horrible things. Notice there in chapter 1, and look at verse 1. He says, verse 2, he says, "Listen, O heaven and earth, hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks, sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Sinful nation. People weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord." So what is he saying? They have abandoned the Lord, and the reason why they abandoned the Lord is because he is not in their worldview. Only themselves is there. And what they want to do, they've despised the Holy One. They've turned away from him, as verse 4 brings to and points that out as well. So you see, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 20, is showing the deprivation of Israel. As long as they offered, verses 11 through 14, as long as they offered the burnt offering, they said, we're okay. But God says, I hate those things. In fact, he says, your head is sick. The whole head is sick. And so you're sick of them. He hated what they were doing. And what they had done is they had dethroned God and set up their idols. Now, that is a worldview without God. As you've been studying and pointed out in your studies in the book of Romans, chapter 1 deals with that. Just like you see here in Isaiah chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, in reference to under the new covenant, points those things out as well. That is a worldview in Romans chapter 1 without God. And you look at those despicable things that are mentioned in the chapter. Shows you a worldview and the effect that it had on the people for their rejection of God and his authority. That's the spiritual death that Alan referred to in his lesson. That's the spiritual death that you and I can end up in if we're not careful, if we do not have the proper worldview. So what is the proper worldview? The proper worldview is going to include God. That's what it's going to do. It's going to include the principles that God lays down. Why is that? Because God is the authority. The individual says he recognized there is a God. He is an awesome God. He is a holy God. He is a powerful God. And then when they look at the death of Christ on the cross, they see that he is a loving God. And then with the giving of life in the resurrection of Christ and the promises that God has made, they see that he is a God who wants the fellowship with his creation. So the proper worldview is going to have God in it. I'll tell you, an individual that gives us a good example of this proper view. 1 Samuel chapter 2. If you will, turn there to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I want you to notice with me in those verses, it is a prayer that has been given by Hannah. It is a prayer of praise to God. Why is that? It's because of Hannah's worldview. Her worldview concerning God Himself. The things that she says, really, they speak for themselves the way she expresses them in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. This is after God has blessed her with Samuel. And after God has blessed her with Samuel, the things that she says. She says, Hannah prayed and God and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." I want you to think about this for a moment. Is Hannah saying that she went out and she spoke against her enemies and cursed them? No, that's not what she's saying. What she is saying is that she speaks so highly of God's salvation that it's inclusive in her thoughts, in her hearts, her heart, that she is saying that it is speaking against the enemies, those who would reject the things of God. That's what she's saying. I don't put my trust in anyone or anything other than God. I speak of His deliverance. Because I rejoice, she says, in your salvation. That's how connected she is. That is a proper worldview. And in that proper worldview is we end up having this attitude and this mindset that we say of God as she speaks in verse 2. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. You see the proper worldview? You see the change in the attitude? Compared to the worldview that does not have God in it. Survival of the fittest. Here there is joy, or this occasion to rejoice. There is this peace. There is this speech of words that comes forth from the heart, that it pours forth in praise of God. Verse 3, boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God, is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. This is Hannah. This is her prayer. That's a worldview. That's the proper worldview. That is a person who is spiritually minded. In other words, whatever God commands, whatever God says, they're going to do it. Because that's how they view God. In this world that they live in. During her world and during the time that she, the challenges that she had in her world, she acknowledges God. And He sees her through. That's the proper worldview. And the same that had happened with Hannah is the same for us today. When we have the proper worldview, no matter what our world is, God is, if God is included in it, He's going to see us through it. And therefore we have this fellowship, this relationship of joy. This relationship of peace, contentment. And it becomes a very beautiful relationship. The passage that was read to us, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, Brother Davey read to us from this passage. You see, the proper worldview, even of the world itself, the physical worldview, the proper worldview, see this world as passing away. It sees it as temporal. Now, that's not to say that God does not empower us to enjoy the blessings that He has provided in this realm that we live. But we enjoy it based upon the principles that God lays down. That is the guidance. That is the principle upon which we are to stand and view and see things. And when we see them properly, then we're going to conduct ourselves properly, and therefore it will lead to further joy and praise of God for what He's done and who He is. Look with me over in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And this connects to what John was saying about the world passing away. So in 2 Peter, he speaks of the elements melting away. But I want you to notice what he does in chapter 3. He writes the letter, as he says in verse 1, to stir them up. Your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers are going to come with their mocking following after their own lusts. And then what he points out is that what these mockers say, where is the promises or the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. So these mockers are saying, you're putting all of your eggs in the basket of God, and He says He's coming, He's going to return. Where is it? Where is it? And so what they do is they continue on this path of destruction because that's their worldview. What Peter is doing, guided by the Spirit, is to stir their minds up and say, no, you hang in there. Remember these things, if you're not enjoying them, because of some situation in your life, don't worry about it. Don't focus there, because if you focus there, then what you're going to end up doing is excluding God out of your worldview, and it's going to change your behavior. You're going to follow the mockers down this path of destruction. But if you remain faithful, you will maintain the proper view that even though whatever the situation might be in your life, that you're unable to enjoy these things of the world, understand you've got a better place to be. So he's encouraging them. At the same time, he's warning them about those mockers that would come. In fact, the mockers don't see the reason why that God has not come is giving them an opportunity to change. They don't see it. Giving them time to repent of their sins and enter in a right relationship with Him, to include God in their worldview. He's giving them time to do that, but they don't see it. But those who are faithful, who include God in their worldview, they see it. They learn these things. He says in verse 7, but by His word, the present heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And he says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. Remain faithful. Maintain God in your worldview. Let His principles guide you in this world. Let His counsel be a part of your life. As he's bringing this, because he says, what you see, It's going to be burned up. But there's going to be a new heaven, new earth, where righteousness dwells. You see, the worldview sees that. The proper worldview sees it. Because God is included in their thinking. And finally, turn with me over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. I want you to notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and the writer, I believe it's Solomon, points out something that is very interesting. He goes through this age progression in the chapter. He starts out by encouraging those to remember the Creator in the days of their youth. Now, what does he say? He is telling the young people to keep as your worldview God. That's what he's doing. Let God be in your worldview. Why is that? Why should you keep God at the focus or in your worldview during the days of your youth? He says, because the days are evil that will try to pull you away. One of the things that happens is an attack on the young and unsuspecting. And what they do is they try to take you captive because you don't have those experiences. And sometimes it sends your mind wondering what that is like. And they come. The bait is tossed. And when the bait is tossed, then they start reeling you in. And when they reel you in, you're then captive to these abominable things that do not include God in the worldview. And therefore, now you have ruined self. That's why the days are evil. Very tempting. But keep God as your worldview, as he points out. And he says, the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. You're going to age. So he goes through the progression and he starts to point out some of those things in the aging process. Because what he's doing is he's letting us know the bottom line. What really matters in life. That as you are young and you have God in your worldview, you conduct yourself accordingly and you're going to enjoy life. And then when the days are old, when those days are old, when you're older, you can look back on them and you can laugh and you can rejoice and you can look forward to the better days in God throughout eternity. That's what he's doing here. Because he's experimented and he's seen that it is empty without God in your worldview. But with God in your worldview, he then brings to the attention of all of us. In verse 13, when he says, the conclusion with all, when all has been said, heard and is, fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. So what he's doing is reminding us that our worldview should be including God. And as God is included in this worldview, as we look at his principles, at his counseling, it's going to help us to enjoy the life
that he's blessed us with. Regardless, if I am physically unable to, but mentally I can, spiritually I can. And it brings joy, it brings hope, because the day will come where I will shed this aging body. And as I shed the aging body, and I got a taste of what it's like to think about God and include Him in my worldview, the best is yet to come. That's really the mentality. That's the heart that drives us. And this spirituality and this relationship with God continues, because we recognize that God's authority is the most important. The most important. If we exclude that from our worldview, I will share with you, and I will say it unashamedly, you, your soul, is in trouble. It is on the altar of devastation. Eternal devastation. But if you include God, that's the hope that we have. And we can look forward to that we will reap the joys that He has promised. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Our gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us to see how important our worldview is, that we will include you, that we will let you guide us, so that as we walk in this life, that we will enjoy the blessings that you give us, the strength that you provide to endure whatever we face, and those moments when you have given us hope, and those moments that you've given us joy, that they will only refresh us to continue to walk with you. Help us, Lord, to open up our hearts and our minds so that we will receive everything that you have given us in instruction and how to live in this life. Forgive us, Lord, when we have neglected those things, when we have cast you aside, when we have dethroned you. Help us, Lord, to have the courage to allow you to reign in our hearts and minds, even after we have messed things up, knowing that you will make things better as we serve you. We pray these things through your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, now is the opportunity to do so. God has provided that. Why? Because God wants us to be with Him. God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to be in fellowship with Him. And apart from God, we are drowning in sin. That's where we are. But the only way to be saved is we have to attach ourselves and grab hold of Jesus the Christ. How do we do that? We grab hold of Jesus by having faith in Him, knowing who He is. Yeah, knowing those things. Learning of Him. And then repenting of our sins, turning away from those things that caused us to neglect or to cast off God's principles in our lives. That now we want to turn back to those principles. We want to serve God and to confess Him as Lord, that He may lead us through this life, and then be buried with Him in baptism, where our sins are washed away. We are united with Him. And therefore, as we are united with Him, there we are, our worldview, thinking of who He is, what He requires, and living accordingly, so that at the end of this life, we will be with Him throughout eternity. If that is your desire, my friend, I hope that that is. And if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we want to encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.